Welcome to episode 1443 of the 1010 Thrive podcast, brought to you by 1010 Thrive Ministries. 1010 Thrive, 10 minutes a day, based on 10 guidelines for abundant living. We have launched a special series on the Acts of the Apostles, taking a close look at those whom Jesus called and trained and ministered with, and then entrusted to continue his work after his ascension. The first apostle is a man who was known as Simon, who was born in the fishing village of Bethsaida in Galilee. Acts of the Apostles, Part 1, Chapter 3.
After me comes the one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire.
What the fiery preacher, John the Baptist, was proclaiming struck at the heart of every comfortable form of religion. It was not enough to be born into the covenant. It was not enough to belong to the right family, follow the right traditions, attend the right synagogue. Something was being required that went deeper than all of that. And the people went, thousands of them, priests and soldiers and tax collectors and ordinary working people, all wading into the Jordan to be washed. It was strange and it was urgent, and it felt somehow like the beginning of something. Andrew went. I stayed and worked on the nets, or stayed at home with Perpetua. Andrew came back a different man, quieter, if that was possible. He had a look I had never seen on him before. Not excitement exactly, certainty. The look of a man who had been given an answer to a question he had been asking his whole life without knowing it. I noticed it. I said nothing. I went back to the nets. But I noticed. And then one day he came home and said seven words.
We have found the Messiah. Come and see.
Seven words. I had been waiting, in one form or another, my whole life, and Andrew reduced the whole of that waiting to seven words and an invitation. I did not go quietly. That should surprise no one. Think about what you are saying.
I know what I am saying.
Men have said this before. There have been others, teachers, prophets, rebels, all of them with followers who were certain, all of them gone.
This is not like that.
How do you know?
Because John pointed to him. John, who cut the Pharisees down to size, who told us our ancestry meant nothing, who said he himself was not worthy to untie this man's sandals. John looked at him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God."
The Lamb of God.
That is what he said.
I turned that phrase over like a stone, looking for what was underneath it. Lamb of God. It was not the language of a warrior king. It was not the language of a general or a rebel commander. It was sacrificial language, temple language, and I did not know what to do with that. But Andrew was not finished.
Simon, just come and see.
Just come and see. The simplest possible invitation. Not, I can explain everything. Not, I have all the answers. Just come, look, decide for yourself. That I could do. I do not remember the journey in any detail. I remember arriving. There was a small group around him, not a crowd yet, not the thousands who would come later. A handful of men, some conversation, the ordinary texture of people gathered around someone worth listening to. And then he turned and looked at me. I have tried many times to describe that look. I have never succeeded. It was not the look of a man meeting a stranger. It was the look of a man recognizing someone he has been expecting. As if I were not a surprise to him, as if he had known I was coming before Andrew had taken 3 steps toward my door. He let the silence sit for a moment, and then he spoke.
You are Simon, son of Jonah.
Not a question, a statement. As if he were reading something written about me that I had not seen.
You will be called Cephas.
Cephas, the rock. That was all. No explanation. No elaboration. He did not tell me what the name meant for my future, what it would cost, what it would require. He simply looked at me and told me who I was going to become, the way you might tell a child the name you have chosen before they are old enough to grow into it. I stood there with my brother beside me and my mouth closed, which, if you knew me then, was remarkable in itself, and I felt something shift. Not dramatically, not like an earthquake, like a door, somewhere deep in the house of myself, opening an inch. We went back to Galilee. I was silent for most of the walk, but I was thinking, wondering, questioning. Occasionally I stopped and stared intently at the stars. Andrew didn't say a word. He glanced at me from time to time. But he allowed me to walk without intruding on my thoughts. Eventually we were back in Galilee. Back to the boats, back to the nets, back to the life that did not pause because 2 fishermen had gone south and returned unsettled. But I carried the name with me, Cephas, the rock. I rolled it around in my mind the way you work a pebble between your fingers without thinking, not examining it exactly, just keeping it close. I was not a rock. Anyone who knew me could have told you that. I was quick and loud and changeable. I was the man who had opinions before he had information and regretted them after. I was the opposite of a rock. And yet, there is something about being named by someone who sees you clearly. Not the version of you that you show the world, but the actual you, the unfinished you. And choosing to call you not what you are, but what you will be. It does not feel like flattery. It feels like a weight, a good weight, but a weight. I did not follow him yet. I went home. I fished. I paid my taxes. I mended my nets and argued with my brother and lay awake some nights turning the name over. Weeks passed, maybe more. I am not sure now. Time moves differently when you are waiting for something, even if you cannot name what you are waiting for. And then one morning, an empty net, a grey dawn, my hands raw and my spirit somewhere below the waterline, Andrew looked up from the shore and said,
Simon, Simon, look, it's Jesus. He's here.
The word of the prophet Isaiah, you shall be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will give.
Next time.
He asks to borrow my boat. I say yes. He teaches from the water, and I listen in spite of myself. And when he is finished, he turns to me and says something that makes no practical sense whatsoever. Put out into the deep and let down your nets. I almost said no. Almost.
God's invitation often comes not as a detailed explanation, but as a simple call to come and see. Faith begins when we are willing to take a step toward Jesus, trusting that He knows who we are and who, by His grace, we can become even before we fully understand Him. To be continued.